Take your Bible this morning, if you would. I got some verses up on the screen, but I like for you to bring your Bible to church anyway. I think you ought to use it. One of the greatest tools that the devil has against churches all over this world is that he's talked them into leaving their Bible at home. Big, big, big mistake. Bring the, and if you don't have a Bible, we got a King James Bible sitting right in that pew right there. And that way we're all on the same page and all you see speaking the same language. All of one mind and one accord. John 14, turn there. I just got some verses on my mind this morning. I want to kind of as a prelude to what I'm going to be preaching this morning. I'm preaching a series called The Defense of Marriage. And I've enjoyed this study. It's been a help to me and it's been a blessing to me. And I want it to be a blessing to you. And again, ladies, I want to, when I get done with this series, I want you to know I'm your best friend in the whole world. All you ladies. Okay? I'm going to take good care of you. Now I'm going to say some things that you need to hear, and I'm going to do it nicely, but I'm going to end up being your, you hopefully you'll like what I preach today, all right? And because I do, I like to lay a lot of responsibility in the husband's hands. I think men have big shoulders. They ought to be able to handle it. Amen? I think men ought to be able to handle it. And so anyway, just pray for me and pray as I preach this morning. Pray for my voice. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many what? Mansions." Now, if your Bible says rooms, close it and grab one of them King James Bibles. Because that's not what the Bible says. It's not. He doesn't have a room for us. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go..." Now, think of a husband and a wife. Think of the bridegroom and the bride. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Somebody say amen or shout or hallelujah or whatever you want to say to that. "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." One of these days, he's coming back, and he's coming back to get us. And he said, we're never, from that point forward, we're never going to be apart. He said, "Honey, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Where I go, there you may be also." Now turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. If you don't know these verses are in the Bible, I'm just reading them to you. There's a lot of good stuff in this Bible. Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. The Bible said, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Did you know that's exactly what Jesus said? He said, "I go, and if you see me go, guess where I'm going? I'm going to prepare a place for you." And he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's coming again. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I like it. I don't know, but I just sometimes I think we every now and then just ought to preach the Lord's second coming. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." He's talking about those who have died already. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." That's exactly how the Lord left, and that's how he said he's coming back, in the clouds.
to shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When he comes to get his people, he's going to marry us, and he's never going to divorce us. Somebody say amen. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Boy, I just felt like saying that this morning. And he said, verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort in the Bible. You've heard me. I'll say it every time I read it in a verse. Comfort is a Holy Ghost word. And every now and then, and I'm talking to everybody in this building. I'm talking to everybody who's watching, whatever. Every now and then, you need the Holy Ghost to come sit down by you and put his arm around you and say, I love you. I care about you. I'm here for you. I have never left you. I've never forsaken you. I'm here for you. And one of these days, I'm coming back for you. And we're going to be together. And I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I never will. We're not getting a divorce. We're going to stay married for all of eternity. That's what God is telling us this morning. I think it's good every now and then that we have the comfort and the patience and the hope that is in the Scriptures remind us of why we do what we do and why we go through what we go through. Because I'm telling you, ladies, do you remember? Don't you listen now, everybody listen. Ladies, do you remember your wedding day? You remember all the stuff you went through? Some of you are going, which one? Okay. Do you remember all the stuff you went through for the wedding day? Okay? I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'm going to preach a little bit on that this morning. Last Sunday was talking about the husband being the savior of the wife. And I'm going to tie something into that this morning that hopefully will help be a blessing and a help to you. By the way, guys, and I didn't say this last Sunday. I had it in my mind and I didn't say it, so God must have taken it away, but it's there in my mind this morning. Guys, listen to me. One of the things that I believe strongly that we're to protect about our wives, we're to protect her honor and her reputation. Any of you men that I ever hear talking about your old lady, okay, don't, around me, don't you ever talk bad about your old lady. I worked in construction. I heard the guys talk about their old ladies. I heard guys talk and lusting after other women and comparing them to their old lady. Guys, one of the things that you're to protect about your wife is her reputation. Her honor and her reputation. Don't go around talking bad about your wife. Don't go talking smack about your wife. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Learn how to be discreet and learn how to keep your mouth shut. Okay? I don't know why I said that. That just is something on my mind. It is something I try to practice. Okay? Y'all don't know everything there is to know about Sweetie Pie. You don't know everything there is to know about her. And from her, you don't know everything there is to know about me. But I know her and she knows me. And we protect one another. We care about one another. Honor one another. Okay? So just kind of keep that in your mind. Now, Genesis chapter 2, this is, and the reason why I put all these verses here this morning, Jesus is going to come get his wife. And so look at what it says. Actually, the prophecy of the second coming is in Genesis chapter 2. It's there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, watch this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. You know what that is? That's Christ leaving heaven. He's leaving his father in heaven. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. And he's coming so he can cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. That means they are never going to be separated. They're never going to be parted again. They're never going to have to split up. He's never going to divorce her for any reason. He is always, always going to be with her no matter what. He is always going to be there for her. And one of the things that I want to preach to you this morning is that one of the purposes of marriage is to show that Christ is the Savior of the wife. He is the Savior of the body, and He is the Savior of the wife. Now, there's some things I'm going to teach this morning, ladies. I promise you, if you'll just let me finish the message, I'll be on your side. Hopefully, you'll be on my side. You'll see where I'm going with this. But let's just understand some things from the Bible instead of being all riled up over 20th and 21st century feminism and let the world tell us how things ought to be instead of how they are. Let's just look at how God has it. Can we do that this morning? Can we just be right with God and listen to what God has to say? The Apostle Paul, by way of the Holy Ghost, says this, 1 Timothy 2:14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. The devil did not go to Adam to bring sin into the world. He went to what the Bible refers to as the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel. Now, something that was taught to me several years ago, Brother Reg came down here and he preached a revival message about the first time I had him down here. And he said something to me that just absolutely floored me. And God just began to deal with my heart about that, and I could see it in reality. He preached to this church. He said, men can handle a lot of pressure and very little pain. That's how God made them. Women were designed by God to handle a lot of pain. That's why they have childbirth. But very little pressure. It is not the woman's, and the woman, God specifically designed the woman to be the weaker vessel in a marriage. This is why I say it is up to you husbands to protect, physically to protect your wife. It's not up to her to carry the baseball bat around. It's up to you. It is not up to her to learn karate. It's up to you. It is not up to her to defend the home. That is your job, men. But also to protect her integrity, protect her character, to protect her reputation. But guys, it is on you to bear the responsibility of the burden of the household. It is not your wife's job. In fact, the name, I about fell over when I heard this, Mark. The meaning of the word husband, house band. The one who holds it together for the family. That makes a lot of sense. It's the husband's role to hold it together. It's the husband's role to be calm when the wife and children are not calm. It's the husband's job to bear the responsibility of the bills. I'm not saying you got to write the checks. It is the husband's responsibility to make sure that things are going well inside of the home. Guys, that's your job. God designed you to be a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the church that has to carry around Jesus. It's Christ who carries the responsibility of the church. And so when the devil went after the couple, Adam and Eve, he did not go to the man. He went to the woman, knowing that she was the weaker vessel. And upon hearing that Eve had eaten what God told them not to eat, Adam didn't leave his wife. He stayed with her. In fact, if you want to have this idea in your mind of Adam being a type of Christ, Adam ate of the fruit that caused death. The Bible says that Christ tasted death for every man. Why did he do that? Why did Christ go to the cross instead of God requiring us to go to the cross? Because we couldn't have bore the burden. God did not design us as the bride, as the woman, as the church, as people. God did not design us to carry the burden. Although when the devil attacks, that's where he goes. If you notice from the Bible, when the devil went after Jesus, he tempted him three times and then he left. He knew that he was fighting a losing battle with Jesus. So who did he go after, Brady? Went after us. And you know how we like to think highly of ourselves? We fall for it just about every time. Just about, I'm not saying that we're all a bunch of adulterers and thieves and this and that and the other, but what I'm saying is usually a lot of times when the devil will dangle the apple, we'll bite. He'll deceive us. He'll trick us somehow, some way. This is why the woman, the bride, the church, us, this is why we need a Savior to begin with. Because we'll fall for it. You know what? And I'm not speaking out against anybody in sales or anything like that. I don't have a problem with that. But certain techniques that salesmen use, they know how to go through the wife to get the sale made. They know how to manipulate that. They know how to do that. And I'm just being honest. That is how God designed it. God designed the woman to need her husband. This is why, if I can throw this in, this is why sodomite lesbian marriage is a disgrace and a dishonor to God's role. I don't care if she looks like a man. I don't care if she comes in with her hair slicked back and her dungarees on. I don't care how she looks and tries to act like a man. She is not a man, and God did not design it that way. God designed the woman. In fact, I'll show it to you from the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And watch this. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That is what God said. And it is inherent in the nature of a woman that she is desiring a husband who will be there for her. And he'll be just like Antonio's around Lindsay right now. He's got his arm around her. Got his arm around Gary. He's got his arm around Kay. You know, that we do that by nature. We don't even think about it. But that is a symbol of the husband's protection over the wife. And the wife placing herself under. Ladies, when you put yourself under the authority of the husband, you'll put yourself under his protection. And I preached on that a little bit last week, and I'm not going to touch it today. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. God never in his word made an arrangement for a woman to desire to be with another woman. He never arranged for that. It is a disgrace and an abomination. And listen, sodomite marriage, I'm going to defend biblical marriage in this church house. I don't care if that makes you mad. I don't care if your nephew is a sodomite. I don't care if your niece is. I don't care if your brother is or your sister is. I don't care who it is. I don't care if you find out your mom is. I don't care. It's a disgrace and a dishonor to what God had in mind when he laid the whole idea of marriage out. Anybody who says otherwise, they don't believe the Bible. He shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of his life. Now watch this now. What was it? I don't know if I had the verse pulled up here. What was it that God said to Adam after he said this? He said, you're going to sow your seed in vain. And he said, how is it that Adam was going to be able to eat? How is it? By the sweat of his face. What was it that Christ was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane hours before he went to the cross? Isn't that beautiful? Christ, the husband, was laboring in the Garden of Gethsemane. Great drops of blood, as it were, coming out of his brow. He was sweating so much. Boy, I love that picture. Listen, Christ worked for you, guys. He labored for you. Don't you ever forget that, okay? All right. So he said unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast thou eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. But he talked about the woman, how her desire would be to her husband. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I've got 11 videos on this subject, and pray that maybe we'll think about making these into audio CDs so that folk can listen to them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, everybody listen to this now. This is appropriate, or something that we need to listen to as the church is concerned. Husbands, wives, children, men and women, doesn't matter. We all need to listen to this. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now remember, and I said this a couple Sundays ago, you may not be clean. You may not have been clean. But the husband cleanses the wife. The husband cleaned the wife. And that's what he's done here. And Paul's responsibility was to present the church as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And again, what he's saying there, he's talking about the weakness of the woman and how it is the husband that must save the woman and not the other way around. It is the husband who blesses the wife. Here's where I'm going with this. It is the husband who adorns the wife, not the other way around. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I will say this. I believe in a marriage that there ought to be submission of one to another. Both ways. Accountability. Guys, don't run around on your wife privately, and then when she asks where you've been, you say, "What, honey, that's none of your business." I've known guys like that. What was you doing down there? That's none of your business. Why are you locked up in that room over there? Well, I'm just taking care of stuff. You don't need to worry about it. Honey, where's all the money at? We've had money in the bank. What happened to it? I'll take care of the money. You don't worry about it. Can I tell you, and I don't care who's doing it in a marriage, if you don't have accountability to your wife or to your husband, your marriage is not right. It's not right. Guys, the things that you do outside of your home affect your home. Ladies, the things that you do outside of your husband's watch over you affect your home. Accountability. But then in verse 22, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, he did not say submit yourself to somebody else's husband. He did not say submit yourself to the pastor. He said, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, just kind of keep that in mind. Now, I want you to look at something here very quick. And there's been a question in some people's minds, and I know there's a denomination of people that their women don't, they've been taught that it is wrong for a woman to wear any kind of jewelry or adorn herself in any way or to have any kind of makeup or anything like that. And I've heard people say, well, that's wrong and this and that and the other. Let me just kind of share with you what the Bible says. And I don't know that I'll get all this out today, but I'm just kind of teaching you some principles from the Scriptures. It is not wrong. Now listen to me now, and I'm going to show you the Scriptures. It is not wrong for a woman to be adorned in a beautiful fashion or in a beautiful way. It is not wrong, and it is not unbiblical. In fact, what I'm going to show you today is that, and ladies, get ready for this, and you can write down what I said and remind your husband every now and then. It is the husband's job to adorn and beautify his wife. It's your job. It's your job. Ladies, I'm going to make this real simple. You know what that means? He's supposed to be buying you rings and necklaces and bracelets and earrings. Maybe a nice little watch for you to wear. That's his job, ladies. Say amen if you want to. Amen if you want to. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 16, and you can read this whole chapter and see if I'm lying to you or not. Ezekiel chapter 16. This is how God found Jerusalem. God married Jerusalem. And here's what he did. As for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. In other words, she was just a baby forsaken and cast off. Verse 5. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Now I want you to ask it. I want everybody in here this morning to think about the condition that you were in when God found you. Not how you presented yourself to everybody, but the true fashion of how God found you when He found you. You were unclean. You were cast away. You were dirty. None had pity on you. None had compassion on you. And you came to a point where you realized that nobody was going to help you. And you even asked the question, I'm not even sure if anybody even cares about me enough to love me. If I died and went off the scene, I don't know if anybody would care. That's how God found you. And God did not ask you to fix yourself up before He fell in love with you. God fell in love with you when you were unclean and dirty and filthy. Can I get an amen out of somebody? You see, guys, we knew our wives before we got married, if you did it right and you didn't shack up before you got married. All we knew about our wives was it? Well, she looks pretty during the daytime. We didn't see her when she first got up in the morning. Amen. Now I'm gonna put a little humor in here, and I just hope that's okay. But I want you to listen to the deep spiritual meaning that's behind this, and I want to get to it here in a minute. When God fell in love with you, you were not beautiful. The stains of sin and your filthiness was all over you. And so what was it that God told Samuel when Samuel was going down the row of David's sons to pick out who was going to be a king? Samuel looked at one of them and said, surely, God, this man's it right here. And God told Samuel, I don't look on the outside. I'm looking on the inside. And God looked at each one of us, cast away, filthy, nasty, had no desire from anybody whatsoever. That's what God did. And so He said in verse 6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now, I found this picture last night of a woman, poor woman, tattered clothing, nothing with which to look upon, no glory in her, no honor with her, no beauty whatsoever. And that is how, when God found us, that's how He found us, Ron. He wasn't, when God went looking through the earth, He didn't find the most moral, upright people. He didn't find the best of the people. He didn't find the people that didn't really need Him. He found the ugly things of the world when He found us. Can I get an amen out of you? He found filthiness and nastiness and things that people knew about us that we were cast away in everybody's sight. That's who God came and got. So here's what He did in verse 7. He said, I've caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. And now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. I want you to watch this now. Who covered who? The wife does not adorn Christ. Christ adorns the wife. It's the man's job to adorn and beatify and glorify and beautify his wife. That's the man's job. And I'm telling you, guys, amongst everybody that you're around, what comes out of your mouth about your wife had better be nothing but honor and praise about your wife. Now, I don't mind telling a little joke every now and then about our wives. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We're just kidding around, just teasing. But when it comes down to seriousness, don't you let anybody hear you talk bad about your wife. Can I throw something in here just to make you nervous? More than likely, a man, when he's talking bad about his wife, likes to find another woman to talk bad about his wife to. Why is he doing that? Because he's wanting to be with the other woman. He's wanting that woman, even though she knows he's married, he's wanting her to think that he's not happy at home and he's out looking for something else. Guys, don't you ever talk bad about your wife to anybody. Don't, not at work, not on Facebook, nowhere. Your job is to cover her and protect her, glorify her the way Christ does to us. I mean, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a serious question. I want you to listen to me this morning. Who in here has done something, let's say in the last year, I'll just make it easy for everybody, in the last year that you don't want anybody in the church to find out about? Raise your hand. Come on. Who's covering you? Who covered your sins? Who's covered you up and made you the glory and the image of Almighty God? Who did that for you? God did that for you. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered, whose sins are hidden, the Bible says. That's what God's done for you. That's what the husband has done for his wife. He's covered her and covered her nakedness. The shame. What was it, Adam and Eve, when they first realized they sinned, what happened? We're naked. We're ashamed. And what God did was He covered their shame. That's what He did for you. And guys, I'll just be honest. I mean, let's just deal honestly just for a minute. Your wife does not always do everything right. She does not always think right. She does not always understand everything the right way. She may say things before she's thought them out. Don't be mad at her. That's not your job. Your job is to cover and glorify and beautify your wife. That's your job. That's good preaching, ladies, isn't it? I told you. Me and you's going to be buddies time I get done. Now, if you ladies wouldn't do anything wrong or say anything stupid or anything like that, you wouldn't need a husband to cover for you. But the truth of it is, women do it, and the truth of it is, so do church people. Men and women. He said, I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee. You know what God said? God said, I'm going to marry you and I'm going to make you a promise. He said, I entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. That is exactly what Ephesians said about Christ does with the church. He washes her with the water. You know what He washes her with? King James Bible verses. Amen! That's some pure water there. Amen! Because listen, I know my wife. We can't just stay in the 888 a night motel. We can't just stay there. You know why? And the same reason why my wife won't go camping. And I love to go camping. I'd love to take her camping. Have done it. And she said, no more. You know why? My wife likes a clean bed with no bed bugs in it. My wife likes a clean shower. Amen. My wife likes it clean. And so it's my job. Well, honey, if we can't stay here, we'll find someplace else to stay. Because I could sleep anywhere. Jared, right? I mean, we sleep outside during deer season, okay? We can sleep anywhere. We can go for days and just be dirty and grow our beards and everything else. So I try to find a nice, clean place for my wife. I do that for her. Anyway, then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee. And watch this now. Guys, go out and buy your wife a real nice bottle of perfume. He said, I anointed thee with oil. I guarantee you, he did not use canola oil and pour it on her head. You know what he did? Listen to me, and just I'm gonna not say something. But you know what he did? He made it so she smelled good. You understand what I'm saying? He made it so she smelled good. That's what God did for her. That's what Christ does for us. The Bible says now that we're saved, we're a sweet savor unto this world. And I think the church ought to smell nice when the world's around us. Can I hear you say amen? And God does that for us. Then look what he does in Ezekiel 16. He said, I clothe thee also with broidered work. Listen to that. He let her buy some nice clothes. Now, I would buy my wife clothes, but I know better. I don't buy her nothing because I'm going, she holds up two dresses and say, which one? And I'm just going, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Amen. But you know what? I don't restrain her when she wants to go out and buy a new dress or buy a new shirt or this. I don't. Honey, that looks really nice. I have to admit, that looks really nice. Because I want my wife to look nice. I don't want everybody looking at my wife, but I want my wife to look nice. And so God said, I clothe thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin, leather shoes, nice shoes. And I girded thee about with fine linen and covered thee with silk. I decked thee, ladies, are you getting this so far? Silk, fine linen, nice leather shoes, nice perfume. And then he said, I decked thee also with ornaments. You know what these are hanging out of ears? Those are ornaments. God said, I decked thee with ornaments. And let's just be honest. A woman, if it's done right and done correctly, when she ornaments herself, it adds to her glory. It adds to her beauty. I knew a guy that he had married this gal, and she really wasn't a whole lot to look at. She was pretty homely. And I saw her one day, she fixed herself up a little bit, little makeup, jewelry. She did herself a favor. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. He got mad at her. He had this idea that she was not to wear any makeup, and he pretty much talked her into it. She, from then on out, she had stringy hair. She looked terrible. And let's just be honest. God, a little bit of paint on the barn does good. Amen? Now, I'm trying to be a little funny, but I've got a point in all this. I've got a point in all this. When my wife gets up in the morning, and I think my wife's beautiful, it takes her a little while before she can walk out of the house. When I get up in the morning, I go, and if I don't want to comb it, I just put a hat on and walk out. Okay? That's what hats are for. But the way my wife looks during the day is not how she looks in the morning. And she works on herself a little bit, and then she's ready to go out. And if I come home and say, honey, let's go out somewhere. Well, I'm not ready yet. She has to go and take care of all that. I don't mind that. That's what I want out of her. The husband adorns and beautifies the wife. And I want to show you the spiritual meaning of this. I don't know if I'm wasting time, but anyway, he said, I deck thee also with ornaments and put bracelets upon thine hands and a chain on thy neck. It is not wrong what God did for this woman. It is not wrong for a woman to wear little jewelry. Now, if she looks like Mr. T walking in with this, all that stuff, I mean, she's just being Jezebel. And I didn't work this in today. There's a difference, and you're going to see it in the Bible. There's a difference between God adorning His wife and the wife adorning herself. There's a difference. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. You know what God was saying? This is my princess. This is my beautiful princess. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. And thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 13, even though Gomer, the wife of Hosea, God told Hosea to go out and marry a whore, and that's what he did. And you know what he did? He ended up loving her. He ended up being in love with her. And she went out and committed whoredoms on him. She went out and committed adultery on him. And you know what he did? He just loved her more. And he found her. She was in the markets being sold as a slave. You know what Hosea did? Paid for her. He bought her. You know why? He loved her. Even though she had been with other men, even though she had run around and disgraced herself. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Even though her heart had turned away from her husband, when he finally found her for sale, he redeemed her and bought her. And so he said in Hosea chapter 2, verse 13, and I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. So look at what he said he was going to do. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Amen. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not attained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Listen, folks, this is all about us. Wicked people, nasty, vile, rebellious people sitting in God's house this morning. And God said, name the price, I'll pay it. And he did with his own blood, his own son. He paid the price. And he said, I'll buy her back. And I'll betroth her. And I promise her, I will never divorce her. I'll never leave her. God said that he would adorn her. And I'll be honest, I've done a lot of weddings. And I've done some weddings. One lady in particular, I knew her. She wasn't all that great looking. But when she came in that day, adorned as a bride, there's nothing more beautiful in the world than a bride walking down the aisle. And God gives us that picture to show us that even the worst of the worst, when God adorns you, you're the most beautiful thing in the entire world. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Did you know that even heaven understands that marriage is between a man and a woman? And to me, It's a disgrace for two men to go to a civil judge or something like that and get a mock marriage certificate. To me, it is a double disgrace when they do it inside of a church house. That's Ichabod. The glory has departed from that place. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife hath made herself ready. And watch this. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It is not the righteous deeds of the saints the way the NIV says. It is the righteousness of the saints. And that robe that she wears was not her own. It was given to her. It was granted unto her that she could wear this thing. That's why I said this a couple weeks ago. I don't care if you've been around all over God's creation. At a wedding, the woman wears white to show her purity for her husband. I believe in that. And I believe that God has taken us who have defamed ourselves everywhere, and He's taken us and He's cleaned us up and He's made us beautiful for His wedding and for His glory. Can I get an amen out of you? And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God. Isaiah chapter 54, I'm almost done. Isaiah 54, 5, for thy maker is thine husband. And the Lord of hosts is His name. And thy Redeemer, see, He bought her back. The Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall He be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit and a wife of youth. You may have said in your soul, who will have me? God, I'm too unclean. I'm too dirty. I'm too nasty. God, I've done too many things. God, I've ruined it. I'll never, never be like a Christian should be. God said, you let me clean you and I'll make you how I want you. Somebody say amen. Listen, the message of the church out here to this lost world should never be, you need to come and be right so you can be part of us. The message from this church outside of these walls should be to the world, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You want cleaned up? God will clean you up. God will clean you from your sins. God will wash your iniquity away. Called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Job chapter 29 says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Isaiah 61:10, this is the last verse, and I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Listen to me. I don't want anybody. John and Melissa, you guys just moved down here. Okay? You've seen us all on TV. You've seen the back of everybody's heads. I've tried to tell everybody in the world what kind of people these people are. You're fixing to experience it firsthand, buddy. Okay? God sent sinners to Bethel Church. Not saints. He's made them saints. But they're sinners. They're depraved. They got sickness in their head. They're nasty and unclean. But God's washed them. I don't want anybody thinking that Bethel Church thinks that we're all that. Because that's what, see, that deal I read about Jerusalem, she took all that stuff that God gave her and went and harlot. She went out and became a harlot with it. She thought of herself as being something hot, and it was God that made her beautiful. That should never be said about Bethel Church, Festus, Missouri. We don't think we're anything. We're not here clean. And even the guys with bib overalls, they're clean overalls, ain't they? You washed them, right? Or your wife did, right? You didn't wear dirty overalls in the house of God. Lisa will get you. But it's God that's covered us. We, us sitting here, have no righteousness. None. It is the robe of Christ on us that makes us righteous and beautiful for the wedding. Nothing else. And I've been in some churches where they think that they're really living right and they're really doing God's work. I don't want that here. And so you guys came down. Welcome to Missouri. Welcome to Bethel. We'll be your brothers and sisters. But you'll find out. Hopefully, you and your wife are of the same mind. It's not us. It's Christ. It's not you. It's Christ. So, church, ask yourself the question. Ladies, let me ask you this. Ladies, ask yourself the question, where would I be without my husband? Church, ask yourself, where would I be without Christ? What would I be like without Jesus Christ? Bow your head this morning, if you would, just for a couple minutes. And maybe, if just nothing else, you could just offer a prayer of thanksgiving this morning. A prayer of thanksgiving. And if you want to come to one of these benches down front, I mean, be my guest. If you're here this morning and you don't know what this being saved stuff is, let me tell you, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God can save you, all right? You just ask Him, He'll save you. But if you're here this morning, the devil's just been hitting you hard this week. He's got you feeling pretty low about yourself. Like, I'm not really very good. I'm not good enough to go to church. I'm not good enough to... I hear I'm acting like I'm a Christian. And sometimes I don't act like I am. If you're here this morning and that's you, I want to say to you, God promised He was going to love you. No matter what. God swore to you that when He betrothed you, He'd never leave you nor forsake you. And that's why I said at the beginning of the service this morning, if you're here and you feel like the devil's just eating you up this week, you're here. You're here. And God didn't leave you. And God didn't forsake you. So just offer a prayer this morning of thanksgiving for God adorning you and God covering you and God making you beautiful when before you weren't. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for your word, and thank you for this message. And Lord, I just thank you, dear God, for what you've done for me. Lord, I am an ugly person. But I thank you, God, Lord, that you've adorned me as a wife, as a bride. You've covered me, Lord, with your own righteousness because I had none of my own. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would instill that in the hearts of your people, Lord. There might be some, Lord, that maybe as of this week, they had just pretty much decided that they were going to give up. They were going to quit. And Lord, maybe, Lord, through your word, you've convinced them. Don't quit me. I'm not quitting you. I'll love you and I'll care for you and I'll cover you and I will adorn you and I will make you beautiful. When sin tries to scar you and make you ugly, I will adorn you. Lord, help your people today. That's what I guess, Lord, is what I wanted to preach today. God, just help your people. Help us as the bride realize, Lord, just how much you really love your wife, your bride. Thank you, God, for the beauty of your word and for keeping your word to us. Let this be a blessing, Lord, to all people. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Would you stand to your feet, please?